Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome, everyone. And we have an exciting show here for you today. We're going to be talking about the Elohim and the Divine Holy Trinity and their purpose in creation. You know, who are these divine beings and what is mankind's role in the creation process? So join us as we explore our connection to the oneness of God. I like to start off by doing a little prophecy for everyone. Each of you are being given the opportunity to embrace and embody the light of Christ, to understand your God-given powers, to set aside fear, anger, and greed, and walk a path that will lead you back to the oneness of the all. You can make a difference, but it begins with acknowledging your personal power and the choices you make, trusting and having faith, believing in the powers of God. The earth is continuing to face challenging times. The tilting and rocking of the planet is continuing. It is creating more problems with the tectonic plates. Soon, more larger earthquakes are going to happen. The New Madrid Fault is weakening considerably, and you will see more movements along the fault line from the Great Lakes down to the Gulf of Mexico. For the beginning stages of this movement, splintering fault line earthquake effects will spread to the neighboring states. Expect extremes in weathers, particularly in late January and February, and more intense solar activity. Increased amounts of asteroids headed towards the planet. Notice the stars at night so that you can understand better the rolling effect your planet is having. With the extreme effects on the planet, be aware of your personal mood swings. Try to stay centered and not allow the irritations of the day to pull you under. Have faith and belief. God is with you. You may start seeing fourth-dimensional things appearing in your vision at times. Then they disappear. Do not think you're going crazy, because as we overlap the fourth dimension with the third dimension, unusual things can happen momentarily. Know you are evolving. Remember this special time of year and always allow your hearts to be open to the love of the Christ so that you may share it with others. Blessings to you.
That was the Holy Trinity.
Yes. Okay. Well, I want to share some information from the Edgar Cayce and Herbert Puryear, but we'll start off with the basic trinity of life is the eternal Father, the eternal Son, and the eternal Holy Spirit. This trinity emanates creation, and from these emanations of light, they emanate by means of the divine spirit into all creation. The Holy Spirit is the feminine aspect of the Holy Trinity. And in the Greek Christian Coptic text, she is known as the Pistis Sophia. Now, there is a veil which separates the lower levels of light from the higher light to the divine. And a symbol of the Trinity is the dove, for it is the vehicle known for divine communication, which is the extension and ascension to allow our interconnection with the divine Trinity through the spirit, not the physical body. We're meant to consciously raise our awareness to a point where we can arise in the form of the dove, for it is the vehicle, the dove, for divine ascension.
Sandy, I would also interject that dove is just a shorter version of divine.
That's true. Yeah. So only when we see the cosmic blueprint, which cannot be seen in its fullest in the lower levels of light, will this be understood fully. In the first commandment, it affirms the living God who is before all other gods. I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus affirms that we must accept the living God completely. This is the first step in the initiation into the higher worlds of light, the commandment that brings the revelation of the divine name Hashem as it reveals, preserves, and recreates life throughout the infinite dimensions. The disciples asked Jesus to speak about the three highest levels of baptism. The first baptism is that of water, which is the beginning phase of physical spiritual purification. The second baptism is of the Holy Spirit, which is the initiation of our consciousness into the spirit of truth, which allows consciousness to exist in the higher world. And then the third is not simply a baptism of fire, but of the higher baptism of light, which leads to the body of light and all the glorified elements that it touches, which in turn lead directly to the treasury of light. See, the power and ability of baptism is being given to those through faith have received wisdom, and through wisdom and faith, forgiveness, and ultimate life in the Father's house of many mansions. The teachings of the early Coptic Christians are as a gospel of the Holy Spirit, in which we are wedded with Sophia to the pure nature of the Holy Spirit. The true Sophia now reigns with Christ. The true Sophia brings us with her into divine oneness, unlocking the seven seals upon the body and allowing us to reattach to our true cosmic body of light. And these seals a lot of times are known as chakras. Inevitably, the mysteries of the ineffable break open the seals by releasing the seven spirits and the seven thunders of the divine eternal Father as a new tree of life is encoded within us. So, as you share the fellowship of life with the risen Christ this very moment, you are being anointed into the Father's name. So as you approach the gate to enter the mansion world, you become the redeemed humanity that is the recipient of the higher wisdom of the Most High God. And as you return to heaven, you will enter in joyous homecoming. Without the humility to recognize the powers of the cosmic hierarchy in order to work with our own Christ nature, we will always remain trapped in our body of limitation of the mind and our limited serpentine frequency of light. But however, the beginning of our awakening comes through faith, the pistis, which must not be a blind faith, but a faith active in love, a love for humanity, a love for the world, and being of light, and the source of all. This love leads us to the knowledge of the holy names, which give us a personal experience with the divine, as we are told in Romans 10, 12 through 14. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for there is the same Lord over all, who is a treasure to all those calling upon him. And everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved. However, how can they call on him in whom they have not put faith? Question asked in Pistis. Our beginning is in faith, the Pistis, which allows us to call upon the divine names, which in turn connect us directly with the reality behind those names, the divine, who will come to us in the image of the Son as we complete our end of temporal existence and are provided with new vibrations or songs of light. The pathways to the light are outlined clearly. First, there is faith. As Christ said, if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could work miracles. Matthew 17:20. Then, with faith, there comes the actualization of love and forgiveness. Then comes the acceptance of the mysteries and the purification of our mind, body, and spirit to become part of the light stream. And finally, the restoration or reformation of the flesh into the glorified body of light that can ascend and indwell among the many heavens. All of us must indeed someday learn to meditate, because all of us must someday come to be one with the one force. And the practice of meditation, of course, is the practice of the movement towards that oneness. However, it seems that we have a way of coming upon an insight, realizing it, like turning on a light bulb and finding suddenly that the light is there, and then turning it off again and forgetting the new insight and returning to the former darkness. So it is regarding what we know about meditation. The healing power of meditation is well known to us. Why don't we pursue these insights about meditation and healing with great energy, great commitment, and great enthusiasm? Perhaps we have not understood or reflected fully enough upon all that is involved in the practice of meditation. In the development of the body and mind, there had to be within it the potential for all of its consciousness to be aware of its oneness with the divine. There had to be the sensory potentiality for experiencing that awareness in consciousness. You see, the pituitary gland is called the heavenly heart. And in the pituitary and hypothalamus, the great control centers in the brain located just above the pituitary, we have the centers where life can be regulated. If you can be absolutely quiet, then the heavenly heart will spontaneously manifest itself. Only as the utmost quietness is attained, may the whole body be regulated. Meditation is reorganizing the nervous systems, in particular, the parasympathetic, is moved into a more dominant position. The flow of energy that results leads to the balancing of the atomic forces. So meditation is becoming a magnet, integrating the whole force field about us. It is raising the kundalini to meet the Holy Spirit. So in a special case, it involves also the teaching that mind is the builder, and by enabling us to dwell upon that which we want to become, to dwell upon the attribute or quality of motivation that we wish to awaken, that we dwell upon and that we feed our minds upon, that do we become. Further, that which the mind dwells upon is supplied to the physical body and to the soul. Psychologically, what may happen in meditation is a reorganization of the hierarchy of response systems. Yes, meditation is reorganizing the hierarchy of the response systems. Most people feel that they cannot meditate because they cannot quiet the mind. They do not understand that the process of quieting is an important part of the meditation procedure and is a part of learning and experiencing meditation. Meditation is directing the mind with the imaginative forces awakened by a high ideal, such as not my will, but thine, O Lord, trying to awaken a response, and as the mind drifts off, bringing it back and reawakening the ideal. We usually complain when the mind drifts off, but however, we should not deny it or complain about it, but acknowledge what's happened. To make a medicine of the illness, the following may be used as an illustration. So as I meditate in the morning, my mind drifts off to the afternoon job interview about which I am concerned. So first, I acknowledge the fact of my mind drifting. Then second, I invite the Spirit of Christ or God to stand between me and the situation. And I say, Lord, this is important. I know it can be handled only in your presence. I cannot handle it, but I know you can. And then third, say, because this is important, it's all the more reason why I need to take these few moments to become centered. Then I let the importance of the interview be the remotivator for orientation towards becoming attuned and centered. So quieting the mind then involves the releasing of that concern into his power, the reorientation towards the task at hand, attuning, and then the reawakening of the spirit with the affirmation. So how does this relate to reorganizing the response hierarchy? Well, in an ongoing practice of meditation, we begin to put our concerns into relationship with the divine and release the concern to him. We begin to make a different response to each stimulus. For example, let's say that every Thursday afternoon you have an appointment with Joe, with whom you are having difficulty. So in your meditation during the week, when your mind drifts off to your concern with Joe, you try to sense the presence of the Christ in this relationship. And in your next meeting with him, instead of making the usual negative responses, you'll find yourself responding to him with a more loving attitude. Why? You have relinquished your anxiety. You know that there is another power working in your relationship. You are more loving, and Joe responds by being more cooperative. So in the practice of meditation over the days and weeks, your mind will drift off so many times that there will be no major condition in your life that has not been put in a different perspective in relationship to the divine. So here you are, making a medicine of the illness. The drifting off becomes a way of reordering the response hierarchy, a way of reorganizing the motivational system in respect to every specific event or person with which you have to deal. So as we pray repeatedly for others, we prepare ourselves to respond to them more lovingly. So try filling each center with the ideal when meditating. First, go through the Lord's Prayer as it relates to those seven chakra centers. Then go back through it and try to sense life and light and love or the Christ Spirit as filling each of these seven centers. And as you fill those centers with life and light and love, you can reorganize the whole motivational system. Meditation is moving towards the realization of the archetype of the self, and thus towards the individualization and actualization of our full potential. There is written within us a pattern of perfection. The Old Testament writers say that this law is not far from us. It's written in our hearts and minds. Meditation is choosing that law as the ideal and dwelling upon it. Psalms 1 say that he who meditates day and night on the law of the Lord is blessed, and that everything he does will prosper. Well, dwelling on the law of the Lord is dwelling on the awareness of the pattern of the self. Meditation, as it relates to the attunement of the centers, also symbolized by the climbing of Jacob's ladder, is entering into the Holy of Holies. So in prayer, we address one above. In meditation, we meet on common ground, going into the Holy of Holies and meeting him face to face. Meditation is choosing life instead of death. It is the practice of the great commandment to love God with all our hearts and minds and souls. There is no more direct way of indicating our love for another than in wanting to be present with that one. The practice of meditation is saying, I want to be present with the divine. It is the great practice of the great commandment, the love of God. Meditation is listening to the still, small voice. Remember that the prophet in the Old Testament found out that God was not in the whirlwind, not in the lightning, not in the thunder, nor in the earthquake, nor in any of the mighty ravings of nature, but in the still, small voice. Psychologically, the raving of nature are the ravings that may come from within ourselves. Earthquakes and fires are within us. There are all sorts of internal experiences that we might receive from within, but the divine is not in those fantastic experiences, but in the still, small voice. Psalms 46 says, be still and know. We wonder, how can we know by being still? We have yet to learn a great deal from the Buddhists about the concept of the void, which is not empty. Meditation is the practice of the immanence of the divine. It is saying that the divine can manifest in the earth plane. Like the woman at the well to whom Jesus said, if you had known to whom you were talking, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Meditation is the drinking of the water of life. It is partaking of that of which Jesus spoke when he said, I have meat you know not of. The Edgar Cayce readings say that actual creation is taking place in meditation. A possible understanding of the statement is that at the subatomic level, energy is moving into manifestation and becoming particleized. In addition, meditation is the great tuning about. It's turning within the deepest seat of consciousness, which the Buddha recognized. It is the practice of the awareness of the prodigal who came to himself and said, I will arise and go to my father. We are all prodigals. By meditating, we are turning about and saying, I will return. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Meditation is opening the door and inviting him to enter. The readings say, why entertain others when he is so nigh? Yet they also say, he will not be the uninvited guest. There is a gentle pressure, a knocking of that force to flow through us, but it must be invited and allowed to flow through. This requires intention and time. In the Bible, we're told that we are created in the image of God. And in some passages of the New Testament, we're told that we are destined to be conformed to that image. Romans 8:29. Meditation is the practice of moving towards our destiny because it is the movement towards conformity to that image of the divine implanted in us. It is therefore fulfilling destiny. Meditation is accepting grace and allowing the force of life and love to flow through us. It's a creative and therefore connective of all those patterns that we call karmic. So in this sense, it is turning stumbling blocks into stepping stones because as we meditate, we put everything in relation to God. We see him in every relationship and we sense every opportunity, every confrontation in life as a way of drawing closer to him. To place our faith more fully in him, meditation is partaking of the bread and wine. As the Spirit flows through us, we have the true Eucharist and a literal transubstantiation. In the revelation of John, meditation is the bowing down of the four beasts, telling the four lower motivational systems of substance, self-gratification, self-preservation, and self-propagation to be still and quiet. As the four beasts and the 24 elders bow down, the senses and the activities of the brain must bow down to the higher direction. We are told in Revelations of the 144,000 souls, and we may think of these as symbolizing perfect patterns within, that meditation is inviting the 144,000 to manifest in our bodies. The readings say the number also represents the effacing of that strange, fearsome pattern of the beast numbered 666. And if we are marked with that number, meditation is the erasing of that pattern and the replacing of it with another higher pattern, the mark of the Lamb. We are a book with seven seals. Meditation is the practice of opening those seals. Remember, though, that in the Revelation, John saw that no one in heaven or on earth was worthy to open those seals, but the Lamb came, and he was worthy to open them. Thus, the instructions regarding meditation are that the opening of these seals must come from the Spirit and not from some intervention of our own. Finally, we may think of meditation insofar as it is an invitation to his presence. As the most meaningful and personally applicable understanding of the second coming. And as the Revelation closes, we are told that the Spirit and the bride say, "Come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Meditation is the drinking of that water of life. Jim, I know you have some things that you would like to share at this time.
Well, there are a few things. Now, when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we're speaking of the third triad, or the third part of the triad of the Godhead. creation pours forth from each one, but with the Holy Spirit, she is the one who can literally go from within yourself, your own heart, and outward. So she can literally change. She can overlay. She can bring forth that which has been corrupted, or that which has been harmed, or that which is at present, creating issues or problems. And when you call upon her, the Christ will most likely come. But the thing is that he will empower her in however much light is needed to literally go forth from you to overlay whatever that issue is. And it's the way it has to work. Spirit is spirit. The material realm is the material realm. And you can go into the spirit realm and you can create. We'll call it a fourth dimension if we call this a third dimension. And it moves a little faster than this one. But if you go into the fourth dimension and you want to build something that you'd like to have, let's just say a house or a car, and you get a little extravagant with it, but it will down the road manifest if you believe in it enough. It is whatever you believe in. What is your God? What is it that you believe in most? And it will manifest, but will it continue to hold? No, it won't, because it was created from you. If you created it from God or from the Holy Spirit, from within you, and it's done in divine order, then when it manifests, it will contain the light stream of God. And it can continuously be restored and rejuvenated with that light. But if it is built simply out of a material desire only, a carnal desire only, then it must become destructive, one way or the other. One thing we often don't know so much about, I remember a TV show years ago that I used to watch, and the gentleman had this little being on his one shoulder, and one on the other one. One was an angel. The other one had horns and a tail, and he was red. And the angel would whisper good things into his ear, and the other one would whisper things that he knew he desired most. And the thing about the show, from what I remember, he most often chose the little guy with the tail and the red and the horns and, you know, and red. And he would always make up the excuse, well, you know, the devil made me do it. And, you know, there is some truth to that. Believe it or not, when mankind as spirit came into the material realm, it was required of those beings that control and govern this system. And it was required that they must take into the mixture what is called the counterfeit spirit. Now, one of the first places you see it, you know, clearly was Jacob. When Jacob had laid down and put his head upon the rock, and all of a sudden he woke up, and there was a ladder that came down from heaven. And coming down the ladder were these angelic beings. And, you know, I liken the ladder to the Matrix, almost like a screen that to get from one dimension to another, you almost have to go up to the next screen. And it has a matrix, and up to the next screen is another matrix and another dimension. But he decided that he was going to get a blessing from the angel. And so he fought with the angel. And he fought with the angel and fought with the angel all night long until finally the angel gave him what he wanted. He wanted that blessing and he got it. And the problem with it is that the counterfeit spirit will be with you until the day you die. And its purpose, only purpose, while it's with you, is to continuously try to get you to do what's wrong. And then when you pass, it will be right beside you, testifying against you for everything you did. The key here is, Jacob got his blessing, but it still had to be placed somewhere. And so it was placed in his hip. And so for the rest of his life, Jacob actually walked with a limp. You can look that up yourself, and you will find that for the rest of his life, he walked with a limp. And so the idea is that there will be so many times you've got so many influences, you've got so much information coming at you that is mostly material, and it's hard to turn down. You know, it's so easy to justify. Well, God wanted me to have that brand new car with the leather seats and, you know, 6-speed transmission and, you know, and all of the pretty gears. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have that. But for what purpose? What you need is reliable transportation. Because I'm telling you right now, gas is going the way of the dinosaur. And, you know, coal and gas is going the way of the dinosaur. And even hydrogen as we know it, you know, you'll hear a lot about it, but we're not talking about hydrogen on a molecular level. We're talking about hydrogen on a atomic level. When you do that and you mix it with water, which is infinite, I mean, the universe is infinite with hydrogen on an atomic level, and you mix it with water in a nozzle, and it will burn a flame of 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Yet, you can take and rub that across your arm, and it won't burn you. Because it works more on an electrolysis kind of basis. We have so many things that are coming down the line so fast, it will be hard for us to keep up with them. But in the process, you know, they won't have gas. They're going to shut those gas wells down if there's anything left in them. They're trying to get every dollar they can out of them. We have to be aware. And too often, I ask people, I said, did you notice that one week that the moon came up in the west and set in the east? Yeah, I think I did. That was kind of interesting. I mean, with the moon coming up in the west and setting in the east, I don't know about you, but, you know, to me, that's just amazing. I mean, I sat out on the deck one night and took pictures between the boughs of one of our trees, and the moon had risen about 20 degrees up, I guess. And It just sat there. And it was almost full, and it sat there, and it sat there all night. And then all of a sudden, it went back down in the east where it come up. I mean, these are the signs of the times that we have to be aware of. We may say that we're saved. And I hear it a lot. Well, I gave my life to Christ years ago, and I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, I hear you. And, you know, and I'm not doubting that part of your faith, but it's a simple faith. It is too easy, and it won't get you very far. I mean, I know everyone that went to church as a young person heard the song, the stones in my crown. I mean, they are real. The things that you earn, the talents that you gain, can be used throughout the universe, throughout universes. And honestly, do you want to be somebody who's sat in heaven, parked on a bench somewhere? I mean, it is necessary to know where you're going, what you're going to do, who you're going to encounter, and what those beings are going to be like. If you don't have any idea of that knowledge, of that understanding and wisdom, then you may just have a very hard time. It's going to be difficult anyway if you haven't studied this kind of stuff all of your life. And yet, you know, we have to blame some of the teachers and preachers. We have to blame, you know, our school systems. I mean, they haven't given us the truth. You know, they say it's for our own good. Sorry, I don't see it that way. You know, we have the need to know, and it is being made available as we speak right now. Some of you have been baptized, and others, you know, sprinkled on top of the head. But baptism occurred, I mean, thousands of years before Christ came along, or John the Baptist, even. And the key to baptism was to really come into its own in the year 2000, because that's when the Aquarian Age would fully seat itself. And in the Hebrew years, it's 5,760 years. That equals our 2000. And it also says that the water that is used for the baptismal must be equal to 5,760 medium-sized eggs. Well, the first time I ever heard that, you know, I thought, oh my goodness gracious, how would you ever measure what that is? I don't know. I still haven't gotten an answer completely for that, except that, you know, I'd rather fill the water than underfill it. My guess is if you looked at Christian baptisms, they probably don't meet that number on purpose. Everything is upside down in this world we live in right now. And so 5,760 medium-sized eggs. I would figure an egg to be about a medium-sized one, about 2 cubic inches, or 2 cubic, you know, measurements. So the key is here, make sure you have at least that much and more, a little more, for a baptism. We do baptisms, and we've had, I don't know, a dozen or more people at a time, and we've just rented out a swimming pool at one of the hotels, or we had a friend of ours that had an outdoor pool, and she let us use hers in the summer, and it was just awesome. And Sandy and I, we used to go to the beach about every year just for a few days, and on the way, we'd stop at this little winky-dink hotel on the way. And it had an outdoor pool. And, of course, it was Sunday night, and there wasn't a soul around. Now, it doesn't matter. There can be 100 people in the pool. It has nothing to do with the baptism. But what you must do is, you know, renounce your sins, ask for forgiveness, and forgive those whom you need to forgive, too. And then the other person, you hold your head and takes you under the water. The key here is that every part of you has to be immersed. Not even one hair of your head can come above the water. Because if it does, all of the negativity within you will rise and stay in that little piece of hair until you come up out of the water, and then it will rush right back down into the body. So every part of you must go into the water for that baptism. And it doesn't have to be long. It's the way the angelics put it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 was plenty. And then lift the person back up. And most people can hold their breath for that long. And the key is that the light cannot occupy the same location as the dark. It is impossible for that to occur. The two cannot occupy the same space. If you walk into a dark room and you hit the light switch, the whole room lights up. And so once the negativity has been removed from the body, the water encapsulates it. When Jesus threw the demons, which regarded themselves as legion or 1,000, out of the man, he threw them into the pigs, and they ran down the hill and drowned themselves in the water. Well, that seems like almost a cruelty to some, but in reality, the water encapsulated each and every one of those demons. And that someday, that water wouldn't be there. For one reason or another, their shift, and the water would empty out, and it would release those beings to have to go through having a body, living out their lives, and having to go through the hardships and things that everybody else does. That's an opinion. But that 5,760 medium-sized eggs, and ask that the light take up the space and place where the negativity has been removed from, that it take up all of those spaces and forgive you of your sins. When we would go, we probably went 5 times over the years, and we would stop there and we would do a baptism on each other. Because if you are a spiritual healer or spiritual individual, you walk through the mud and the muck sometimes, and you can pick up things and not even know you've picked them up. And so doing it this way helps. And it's much better than trying to wrestle with the angel. I asked the angels one time if Jacob did it, is that a preferred way to get rid of the counterfeit spirit or gain a higher class of knowledge or wisdom and understanding? And the angel's answer was very quick. We wouldn't recommend it. just like everybody else, I want it now. but maybe we're not ready for it now. It's coming soon, though. The stars, the sky, the things that are happening out there. NASA's even showing 2 moons together now. In the sky, pictures of them. And then they take them off. And then you don't see them again. When's the last time you saw 2 moons together? Side by side, same size, everything. I've got photographs. I'm a big photographer, so I've got photographs. But when's the last time that you may have seen that? And never, ever, if you can, make a mockery of a mystery that you see. If someone is healed, don't brush it off as being, who cares? Or beauty is all around the person. Even if you think the person isn't very beautiful in their daily life, it doesn't matter. You cannot have beauty without there being God. God is beauty. God is love. And so, you have to accept that the Holy Spirit is involved if it's in the earth plane. There can be a place where you see all the trees are dying, and literally the Holy Spirit, if you ask and you ground the energies, the Holy Spirit can come in and with the original creation codes can move them and overlay them onto that area and heal that forest, no matter how big or how small. How often do we ask? How often do we ask for something we want, but not for something that the world needs? It's very important that we, if we are going to say, I believe in Christ, it is so important that we act as Christ. And how often do we walk by the guy who's laying on the sidewalk with no place to live, and we give him something to eat? How often do we put enough in the collection plate that it hurts? That there's a pinch to it. I mean, if we're holding on to it, for what? Create your own church if you want. But whatever you do, it's for God. Everything right now should be about God. And if it's not, then we need to reflect upon what we're doing and why we're doing it. And sure, it's not full of a whole lot of entertainment, things like that. But I tell you what, once you have the blessing of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you won't want to give it away. You won't want to give it back. And so it's so very important that we do. It says, those who make mockery of the mysteries will lose the mysteries, and they will leave people if they are misused. And the blessing of love and service then will return back to the one who bestowed it. So if you give of yourself to someone who is in need and they refuse it and or make a mockery of it, then it comes back to you. And you don't lose anything in the process. Then it increases your own. It says the light worker should continue to give of the basic mysteries in love. If that love is not accepted, it says, this defines the level of resonant protection built within them so that they cannot be assimilated and misused by false powers, unless these false powers already possess the mysteries. And I tell you what, I've said for years, if the beings or people of light on this earth worked half as hard as the beings of dark, you know, we'd have already ascended long ago. This world was created from the beginning to the end. And it was built, you know, which is hard to ascertain from the first parts of Genesis. But the earth wasn't built in 6 days with seventh day of rest. It was built in 6,000 years with a time of rest. But it doesn't matter how long. Could God have, you know, created this world in 6 days? Absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. But there's time involved so that we can grow, so that we can become closer to a godlike being. The Elohim, you know, are part of the creation, as is the Holy Trinity. And the Elohim are godlike beings, and they answer to the Ancient of Days. There are so many beings in the upper hierarchies of our universe, even our galaxy. It will amaze you. If you take a look at the galaxy itself, you'll see that we're on the very tail end of the galaxy, and it's broken. It literally is broken like somebody broke it downward, like a spinal column or something, and it hangs down. And that occurred because of all of the wars that occurred in heaven in the early days. And that will have to be healed. And collectively, if we could only realize that God is one, and collectively enough of us could project our love and in the name of God, through God and the Holy Trinity, the Elohim, the higher archangels and the upper levels of the angels themselves, we would and could have no limitation. There is nothing that we couldn't do. There's coming a time when, you know, we could have the power to ourselves even to do so much, but it has to be learned. It has to be understood, because it can be very dangerous or destructive to oneself if you do it and not know what you're doing. So there are places to study and places for you to get that information. And, you know, we would love to share it with you if you want to give us a call. But just remember, everything runs in patterns. You know, what's the number of manifestation? 5. Why is it 5? Well, remember the loaves and the fish, there were 5. And Jesus turned them into enough food to feed 5,000. And it was after 50 days after the Pentecost that God gave the world the Holy Spirit to find, that we might find comfort in those days. Remember that love is active. It's about loving those that you don't even like very well or don't treat you very well. That is one of the greatest hurdles to overcome, and yet it's the one that's most necessary. Because when you do that, it literally sends it forth out into our world, and literally it can change the world. And if enough of us were to do it, it literally would change the world. And we don't realize how important it is. Well, it's just a word. You know, does anybody really love anybody after they've been married for a while? It doesn't have anything to do with marriage. Because in the heavens, when you move on, there is no defining of masculine and feminine. And it is about loving each other, loving God. And you say you love God, how can you not want to go out there and just tell everybody you see about it? You know, sometimes my wife gets a little perturbed with me because I spend a little too much time, you know, talking with people. And, you know, and I mean, once I get started and somebody wants to, you know, listen and talk too, and I hear, I talk. If you're trying to talk with your mate or husband or really anybody, just remember that typically we hear with the feminine side, because that is of our brain, because that is the receptive side. The masculine side is the one that we talk with. So if the one you're trying to talk with or speak with or communicate with is constantly talking, they're on the male side. If the other one's constantly listening, they're on the receptive side. And to be able to communicate, you have to switch sides. And I can tell you right now, most men have a real tough time of going to that receptive side or that feminine side of themselves. Yet, that is one of the reasons that they come into this world, was to be able to grow that part of themselves and all of us. You know, the feminine and the masculine, they must balance. And again, what I often see is a wife will just nag her husband until he finally gives up and he goes to the other side so she can then say what she needs to say. But that will never work because it will eventually just make him mad. And there'll be an uproar. The key is learn to communicate by switching sides. Stop, reset your brain to the other side, and listen. And when you want to speak, switch to the other side, the male side, and speak. And you will find that it works both ways. You will finally have the communication that people have forgotten. You walk into a restaurant, what do you see? 2 people sitting at a table and all over the restaurant, and they're not even looking at each other. They're looking all around. They're not talking. They're just sitting there. You'll find a few that, you know, maybe are communicating, but you'll find just as many that aren't. And we have to get to a point where we are communicating.
Absolutely. Communication is so important. But we have to realize when we're looking at the love, we really are looking at a spiritual nature of things. It's our connection with God, our feeling of oneness with God that opens our hearts, that allows us to receive the love and share the love with others. And so, you know, if people are saying, I just don't feel the love, you know, they've got to retune themselves to connect back with God, to know that that's the source of your love. And that through him, all things will flow through to you, and you'll be able to share that with others.
Absolutely. It is all about sharing. Right now, you will be judged by what you are willing to share, whether it be your love and your faith in God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, or, you know, share what you have materially. What is it really worth? I mean, you know, oftentimes we have things we've bought and bought and bought, and then we don't have room for them. And so we go out and buy a couple of buildings and put the stuff in there, and then we buy and buy and buy. The key is that there is not one material thing that will survive the changes that are coming. They just won't survive. They're not meant to. So,
and a lot of the material things just becomes clutter after a while.
Well, and that's true. And that's even worse, because you need the flow of energy to move through where you live, where you work, you know, wherever it is. That flow of energy is very important. You don't want to block it up. So the key is, you know, share, 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 share till it hurts. The young widow went to the front of the altar, and she gave of everything she had, which was only a couple of pennies. And Jesus was standing beside, I believe, the Pharisee at the time. It may have been a Sadducee, but he was standing beside him, and he said, "You see that a woman that just put those two pennies in that collection plate?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I tell you, she put more in that collection plate than all of the Pharisees have put in that collection plate by giving 10% of what they have." And, you know, we want that kind of life. We want a life where we don't have to worry about the rent. We don't have to worry about, you know, I mean, being stabbed in the back. We don't have to worry about, you know, all of the confusion and the clutter and the things that go along with this world we have walked. And yet, here we are. We are coming upon, you know, the ending, the omega of creation. Like I said, God created beginning and the end and everything in between. We took ourselves out of it when we ate of the tree of life, the tree of knowledge. And there's not enough wheels, there's not enough years, not enough systems to ever pay that back. And it takes our willingness to not only be forgiven, but to forgive. I mean, and actually forgive in love through God. And, you know, if you haven't done it yet, do it now. I went all the way back through my ancestry to the beginning, you know, on the male side and then on the female side and then on my other grandparents, all the way back on their male side and female side, and ask if I have ever harmed someone or even perceived to have harmed someone, that they forgive me. And I forgave them. And then I did so on the other side. And I didn't want to leave anything out. I didn't want to get hooked up on something that I had failed to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, truly, it is, you know, through faith, you're going to receive your wisdom, and through your wisdom and your faith, the forgiveness and the ultimate life in the Father's mansion of many. You know, the Father's house offers us so much, and we don't see it, so we have a hard time, you know, in our minds even conceiving what it could be. But when we finally have the opportunity to receive these blessings, they are so more than you could ever imagine. And you will step back and say, why? Why did I wait so long to do this? Because they are so pure, so loving. It's everything you can ever imagine and more. So why not, you know, at least try?
The last thing is the sacred name. You know, it is so important to know the sacred name. Once the soul hears them, it will never forget them. And when it gets to the other side, it can use the sacred names to push itself higher and higher and higher and higher into other realms. Without knowing the sacred names, you won't. So, you know, give us a call. You can write us an email at sandysangeltalk@aol.com. And we'd be more than happy to discuss any of these things today with you. And our number, 304-567-3354.
We want to thank all of you for joining our Angel Talk radio show, and we do hope that you will join us again in 2 weeks. God bless.
God bless.